Today's shir is Masechet Yevam, Daf Samach Hei. We will begin on Daf Samach Dalet Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. At the end of our previous shir, we began a discussion of what establishes a chazakah, how many times is a chazakah established for various different halachas. One was the halacha that we discussed in the previous shiurim about a milah. How many times, if there was family members who did not survive the milah, do we, at that point, not do a bris milah, certainly not do bris milah when the child is just 8 days old? The Gemara also said that we do so by nesuin. Ask the Gemara, what is meant that we do so by nesuin? Hodamarim, how many times, if a woman got married and lived with her husband and then didn't have children, at what point does this woman not, at what point does this woman not get married to a man who hasn't been mekayim the mitzvah puravu? The next example that the Gemara gave in the end of our previous year was Malchus. What does that mean? The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechet Sanhedrin, the Pei Aleph Amud Beis teaches us, Mishalaka Vishana, somebody who does an Aveira and then repeats doing the same Aveira, Bezdin Kainson Yisrael, keep up, Bezdin would take him into a small room, Machilan Yisrael, and they would give him just barley to eat, Achetei Kreis and Fkas, until his stomach would open up and he would not survive. So the Rambam, the Pirush Mishnayis, explained that a kippah is a prison, which is very small. The height is just the height of a human being, and it's very narrow, and the person doesn't have room to really maneuver and move around in that room. And the Rambam goes on to say that this punishment that we're discussing in our Gemara, of course, was not the punishment that was given to anyone who did an Aveira. It was strictly given in situations where the person did an Aveira for which there is a Chiyuv Karis, and not only did he do an Aveira for which there's a Chiyuv Karis, he repeated doing that Aveira more than once, and this is the punishment that he gave. And of course, the Rishonim ask, why does he deserve such a terrible punishment? And they say, because, as we just said, this person really did an Aveira for which there is a Chiyuv Karis. And Chiyuv Karis is actually, as we understand, a form of death. And this person who is repeatedly doing the same Aveira, therefore is put into such a place where he ultimately will suffer because he did that type of an Aveira. Vestus, the next thing that we said that is determined three times is Vestus. What does that mean? The Tanan, as the Mishnah Masechta Nida teaches us, Eina Isha Kavas La Vest, a woman does not determine that she has a vest, Acha Tekvene Shalosh Pamim, unless it's determined three times. The halacha is that if a woman sees her period at the same three times, there are a number of halachas that come into play. One halacha that comes into play is that a woman has to be concerned that if a woman sees dam, she needs to be concerned that maybe that dam was there from before. And as we will in Mitzvah Shem learn in Masechta Nida, the halacha therefore is that she has to, if she sees dam, and she didn't know exactly when that dam came, we need to assume that maybe it was there already for 24 hours before. But even though that's the halacha, that we have to assume that the dam was there for 24 hours before, that's only by a woman that doesn't have a vesed kavur, that doesn't have a predetermined time that she always sees the dam at that time. But if a woman has a vesed kavur, that concern doesn't exist. That's one halacha. The other halacha that's relevant to this discussion is regarding a woman that has a vest kavua, a woman that always sees her period at a specific time. The halacha is that such a woman, when that day comes, has to examine herself, that she makes sure that even though she didn't feel that any dam came, that she indeed doesn't have any dam. These halachas apply that this date is considered a veset kavua if it happened three times. It happened three times, at that point the woman is considered she has a veset kavua. And on the other hand, ve'ein b'taharis v'vest, we could stop assuming that she has the vest. We could stop assuming that she has the vest. If there were three times where the dam was expected to come and it didn't come, that's a proof that the vest is not to be could be concerned anymore. The next area where we have this halacha, says the Gemara, is a shor hamu'ud. The halacha is the tanan ain a shor nas hamu'ud. An animal is not identified to be a shor hamu'ud, as we know. In Mitzvah Shem, we're going to learn Masechet Bava Kamma. In Masechet Bava Kamma, the Gemara discusses extensively a shor hamu'ud, an animal that did damage three times. And there are differences between the animal that's a shor hamu'ud and a shor tam. Most notably, an animal that does shor hamu'ud pays nezek shalom, the full damages. A tam pays chatzi nezek. And says the Gemara, shor hamu'ud, the Mishnah teaches us in Masechet Bava Kamma, ain a shor nas hamu'ud, ad sheyidah by shalosh pamim, until it happened three times. And Tosfos says a very interesting point. Even though, as we've been discussing in the last shiurim, the machlokes of Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel, how many times does it take to establish a chazaka? Two times or three times? Says Tosfos, that machlokes is regarding the other halachic issues that we've been discussing in our shiurim. But regarding the halacha of shor hamu'ud, everybody will agree that an animal is not identified to be a shor hamu'ud only after three times. The Ramban disagrees with Tosfos. And the Ramban says the same as we've been learning in our shiurim, that an animal, that the machlokes is it two times or three times, the same question will come up regarding shor hamu'ud as well. Tana Rabbanan, Nisus L'Rishon. We go back to the subject that we've been discussing about a woman who got married and didn't have children. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Nisus L'Rishon, a woman got married to her first husband, V'loy Hayu L'Rabbanim, and she didn't have any children. The halacha is that they get divorced, and the husband must pay the ksuba. L'Sheni, she got married to the second husband, and again, L'Hayu L'Rabbanim, they didn't have children. The halacha is they get divorced and he has to pay the ksuba. And Tosfos, the very maskil, points out that even though now that she got married to the second person without having children, she has a chazaka. She has a chazaka according to Rebbe, who says, as we just discussed, that with two times a chazaka is established. He says, Tosfos, that that's only regarding her ability to get remarried. We don't allow her to get remarried to a man, at least certainly who didn't have any children, unless, because for two times she hasn't had children. But that's a question of being allowed to get remarried or not being allowed to get remarried. Whereas regarding the question of ksuba, which is dine mamnis, says Tosfos, there a chazaka is not established until three times. And since this hasn't happened for three times yet, she will be entitled to get a ksuba. Shlishi, therefore, she should not get married to a third husband. El lemishi yesh lebanim. Only when an individual who has fulfilled the mitzvah pura rivia, as we learned earlier in our parak, either has, according to Beis Shammai, two sons, according to Beis Hillel, a son and a daughter. Nisus lemishi ein lebanim. If she married an individual who has not fulfilled the mitzvah, the halacha is teitzei b'loy ksuba. She is established as an akara because of these two experiences she had, and therefore we don't allow them to remain married. Ibailahu. So ask the Gemara, why will be the halacha where a woman was married to a husband for 10 years, didn't have children, they got divorced, the husband gave the ksuba, she got married to a second husband, and again, they had these 10 years, no children, they got divorced, she got paid a ksuba. Vanissa l'shlishi, and then she married a third husband, and again, v'loy hayol abonim, and she didn't have children. And the Gemara's question is, ma'al d'litfu hanach tami, could the earlier husband come with a claim and say that he deserves back the ksuba? Mi motza armala, can that husband say to her, igloy milsa da'atu d'gramt, now that we see that you were married three times and not having children, it's clearly your fault, and therefore you're not deserving of a ksuba. Adilma motzas armalahu, or maybe she could respond, hashtu d'kachshi, this is not a proof that I've been a woman all along that hasn't been able to have children. It's now that happened that I got unable to have children. But when I was married to you, I was able to have children. Matas Amrit, can't she say hashtu dekashi? Matas Mistabra, says the Gemara, the halacha is that we accept that claim, and we accept the claim, Matas Amrla, she could say hashtu dekashi, that I got sick now. Says, ask Tosfos, so why, if the third husband divorces her, as we learned a moment ago, that loch is she's not entitled to the ksuba. If the Gemara is accepting this claim that she could say, achshav kachashti, it's hashtu the kachashti, that I only got sick now and I was really a well person, so why isn't that a good enough reason that the third husband should also have to pay the ksuba? So Tosfos answers, there's a difference between holding on to money or claiming money. And Taisa says like this, she got the ksuba money from the second husband. The husband now wants that money back. So with the claim that the Gemara just expressed of saying, hashtu dekachshi, it's only now that I got unwell, it's a claim that she should be able to hold on to money. But to use the hashtu dekachshi, with that claim to be able to collect a ksuba from a third husband, that isn't good enough. The Ritva says a different pshat. The Ritva says, when she married the first and second husband, she was totally entitled to the ksuba. And therefore, when those marriages end, she gets a ksuba. However, when she marries this third husband, her status had changed. And it wasn't necessarily a case that she's entitled to the ksuba. And because of that, when this marriage indeed ends, because they didn't have children, she doesn't get the ksuba. And Bailahu, ask the Gemara. A woman was married to two husbands, 10 years, no children, and divorced and got a ksuba. Then she married a third husband, again, lived those years, didn't have children, and now she gets divorced, and as we just explained, she's not entitled to ksuba. And now the question is, Nisus Lervi, she now marries a fourth husband, v'hayolo bonim, and she does have children. So now the Gemara's question is, ma d'mitbilu shlishi, could she go back to the third husband and say, it's obvious that the reason we didn't have children was not because of me, it was because of you, because I now had children. So the fact that I had children now, is that a raya that I should be entitled to a ksuba? So says the Gemara, Aminalach, Bezdin tells this woman, Shtitusech yofim b'debarayich, you're much better remaining silent. Because if you're going to make a claim like this, Motza Amrala, the husband could say to her, Anah d'dati d'achil l'garishtech, I only divorced you because I thought you're a woman that can't have children. If I knew that you could have had children, I would have never divorced you. And therefore, it turns out that your get wasn't a get. And that would create all sorts of difficulties. So you're better off adding off being quiet. So ask the Gemara, Masla Rapapa, ask Rapapa on this. So we give her the advice, the good advice, that don't make any claims because the claims could only cause you trouble. But ask the Gemara, ask for a puppy, Yishaska, if we tell her, remain silent. But Anan, we Bezdin, we have to do what's right. And we have to be honest. Anan, Mishaskinen, how can we remain silent? Because if indeed it turns out that she's a woman that's able to have children, she's not an Akara, so it turns out that Nimtza, get bottle, that the get that was given should not have been given. And if she had children from the fourth husband, if she was really, if the get that was given to her was not a good get, so she's still an Eshes Ish with the third husband, and the children that she would now have with the fourth husband, Mamzerim, would be Mamzerim. Ela Amrinan, says the Gemara, the reason we're not concerned for that, because we say Hashtu Debreaser. She just got better now. It's not, when they got divorced, when the third husband divorced her, she was indeed deserving of a get, because she was at that point an Akara. What happened now was, she got better, and that's why we can leave everything the way it is. Says the Gemara, Hu Amar, the husband says, Mino, I know that it's her fault that we didn't have children. Vi Amra, and she says, Mine, I know that it's his fault. And of course, the question that's up for discussion is, if it's his fault, then she's entitled to Ksuba. If it's her fault, she's not entitled to Ksuba. And the question is, who is believed? Amr of Ami, Dvaram Shebeino Lebeino, when we have this kind of a conversation, and the issue is, who is the one that's unable to have children? Nemenis. We trust what she says. Says the Gemara, V'tamamai. Why is that? Says the Gemara, Hui Kaimla B'yarkachetz. She's the one that could tell if he has the ability to have relations in a way that there could be children. Who? But a person cannot make the determination by himself. And therefore, Hula Kamla B'yarkachetz, that he could shoot the semen in a powerful enough fashion that it can impregnate a woman. And the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, this very much is connected with the concept of Bari V'Shem and Bari Adaf. Whenever we have two claims that are contradicting each other, we always listen to the person whose claim is more certain. And that's why the Gemara is saying that her claim is considered a stronger claim, Bari V'Shem and Bari Adaf. Ama Ihu. So says the Gemara, that the husband now has to give the ksuba. And now, because we're saying that it was his fault. So he says, I'm going to marry another wife. And now we'll see if I indeed have the ability to be or connect. And if now his new wife says that my husband is able to do be it properly. Says the Gemara, Amr of Ami, Abzu Yitzi V'yitin Ksuba. Even if that were to happen, the loch is that he would have to give the Ksuba. Shaniyai Mekala Nisi Ishal Ishtai. Whoever marries another wife, still Yitzi V'yitin Ksuba. Ravaba Amma Noisi Adam Kam Noshim Al Ishtai. A husband is technically allowed to marry many wives. V'hud Islam is Nainu. Only on the condition that he could support those wives. Hu Amar, now the Gemara discusses further. The husband says that I'm not obligated to divorce my wife. Daflus Bagaesa, because you did get pregnant during these years of marriage. And the halacha is that if a woman miscarried, we start counting the 10 years, not from when they got married, but rather for when she miscarried. V'yamra, and she says, Loy Aflis, I never miscarried, and therefore we should certainly start the 10-year count from when we got married. Amarav Ami Ap Zuhina Menes. She is the one that we believe in this Din Torah. Dim Isa Dapila, because if it was true that she had miscarried, she wouldn't be lying and say, I didn't miscarry. Because by saying that, what she's saying is that she's an akara, and no woman nafsha bakarta lemachska. No woman is willing to establish that she should be considered an akara. So she's considered an akara, and if it's not true, hapila. If a woman miscarried, v'chaz v'pila, and then she miscarried again, v'chaz v'mispila, and then she miscarried a third time. Says the Gemara, huchsukol nefolim. This woman has been established to be a woman that miscarries, and therefore the husband should divorce her and pay off the ksuba. The Rosh disagrees. The Rosh says that in this case, she doesn't get a ksuba. Because in this case, it's clear that she has some sort of an issue, that she keeps on having the miscarriages. So it's clearly, so to speak, her fault. And since it's clearly her fault, she's not entitled to the ksuba. There's also another very interesting machlokes rishonim. She miscarried 3 times. But those 3 times that she miscarried could have happened before the 10-year mark that we keep on speaking about in our sugyas. So when do they have to get divorced? Do we wait for the 10 years? Or once she miscarried 3 times, we tell them to get divorced? So the Rosh says, we don't wait for 10 years. As soon as she miscarried 3 times, they get divorced. The Meiri disagrees. We never demand that the couple should get divorced before 10 years. So again, Apila v'chazra, Apila v'chazra, Apila, Chuchsukul in the poem. Hu amar, says the Gemara, what's going to be the halacha? The husband says, Apila trei, you only miscarried twice. And since you only miscarried twice, you're not yet established to be a woman that will always miscarriage. V'yamra t'las. And she says, no, it happened 3 times. Amar Yitzchak ben Elazar, Uvda hava be midrasha. There was once such a situation that came to the yeshiva. V'amra hima hemna. That she's the one that we believe. Why? Dem isa dalei apla. For if it weren't true, nafshe ben nefile lemachska. She would have never said that she has this issue unless it was true. No woman wants to be established to have this issue unless it's absolutely true. Says the Mishnah, ish mitzuva per rivya. A man is obligated to fulfill the mitzvah per rivya, avaloi ha'isha, not the woman. Rabbi Yochanan Abraika Omer, al shneim hu Omer, regarding both the man and the woman, it says, v'yoyim alakim, and therefore he says clearly the mitzvah is both on the man and on the woman. So the Ben Ish Chai explains why is an obligation on the man and not on the woman. So the Ben Ish Chai says that the explanation is that a man, as we just learned, can have more than one wife. So therefore, if a man marries a woman and they're unable to have children, that should not be a reason that he shouldn't fulfill the mitzvah puravu. Let him marry another wife. Whereas a woman, nothing to do with Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom, under all situations, was never allowed to be married to more than one man. Since the woman can never be married to more than one man, that's why we tell this woman, the Torah cannot have demanded of the woman to fulfill the mitzvah puravu. Another pshat that I saw is that we know that the Gemara discusses what is considered a more significant mitzvah. A mitzvah that mitzvah v'oisa, a mitzvah that you're obligated to fulfill, or a mitzvah that ain't a mitzvah v'oisa, that you're not obligated to fulfill. And there are reasons to give more significance to each one of them. Mitzvah v'ein oisa is that even though I'm not obligated to do it, I still do it. So that how appreciative I am of the mitzvahs. On the other hand, mitzvah v'oisa, as Tosfos says, the Yetzirah gets in the way. And the Yetzirah doesn't want you to fulfill the mitzvah that you're obligated to do. And you still do it. That is of even greater significance. Every child, obviously, is born from a mother and a father. We want that a Jewish child should be born from a combination of these two concepts. So the Torah said the father will be mitzvah v'oisa on the mitzvah puravu. The mother will be mitzvah ve'ena oisa. And when we have this combination of these two types of attitude toward mitzvah, the perfect Jewish child will be born. Says the Gemara Menonimili, from where do we know that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Puravu? We know that women are exempt from mitzvah seishas man grama, but Puravu is not a mitzvah seishas man grama. Why should they be exempt? says the Gemara, Amar Rav Eloi Mishim Rav Elozer Rav Shimon, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, V'yivarach HaShem Elokim, in Parashas Bereishis, V'yoyim Elohim Elokim, Pur Ravu, U'milu U'sa'aretz, V'chivshul. Ish Dachve Lichboish, the man is the goes out, Mashah explains, the man goes out to war. The Batanura explains that the man is in the position of control during the act of biyah, and therefore the Torah is speaking to the man. Ein isha daka lichbash. Adrabba, ask the Gemara, doesn't the word v'chifshua, which is b'loshin rabim, tarti mavsha, isn't that clearly an indication that we go, that the Torah, since it's speaking in plural, is speaking both to the husband and wife? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachba Yitzchak v'chefshua ksev. We look at the way it's spelled in the Torah. It's spelled in the Torah as a Lashon Yochid. And as the Rishonim will point out, even though throughout Shas, there's a machlokes, does the pronounced manner or the written manner take precedence, everybody here follows the way it's written in the Pasuk. Rav Yosef Mahocha, Ani Kel Shakai Prey Urevei, Lekam Puruvu. Here the Torah says, B'loshin Yochid, the Torah is speaking to Adam Arishin. The Torah is saying, you have the mitzvah, not your wife. V'amar B'loh, M'shimer B'loh, Z'rab Shimon. Shem Shemitzvah al Adam Loi Medava Nishma. Just like one is obligated to, if he sees something, to say something, as the Pasuk says in Parshas Kedoshim, Chaycheach, Tachich, Hasem Yisecha, Kach Mitzvah al Adam Shloi Loi Medava She'ere Nishma. If you're going to say something, and what you're going to say is not going to be listened to, you're better off not saying. Rav Abba says, "Hachayva shenema atoichich leetz." You're obligated not to say something under those situations. Shenema atoichich leetz penyus nuacha chaychem lechachem v'yadecha. It's better not to say. So the Rishonim ask that the Gemara and Masechta Erchin, Daftez Zayin Amun Aleph, says that the obligation of Teichacha goes until the person you give Musar is going to hit you or curse you. And how are we saying that a person is exempt if he's not going to listen? So the Ritva says that there's a difference between a Rabbim and a Tzibur. A Rabbim, the halacha is, that you should, if you know it's not going to work, you're better off not saying something. But when you're talking to Yochid, there's always a hope that he'll listen. And since there's always hope that he's going to listen, then therefore you should say. The Ramah Paskins, the Ramah and Arachayim Sim Tov Reish Ches, Sif Beis Paskins. B'chol David Isser, by everything that involves Isser, Mutushay Shagig Val Yamezidim. Better off that we should leave the person to be a Shagig and not a Mezid. But, says Duma, if you know he's not going to listen, don't say anything. But, says Duma, the Dafka, Shadim Afurish Batoira, Afish Deraisa. Even though the mitzvah is a Deraisa, but if it's not explicit, you shouldn't say something if you know you're not going to be listened to. Avu Mefurish Batoira. If what you're saying is explicit in the Torah, you have to say something. And even if you know that what you're saying is not going to be listened to and it's a deraisa, only say it publicly once. As we just quoted Ritva, you have to keep on saying until you get hit or cursed. Says the Bi Halacha, since the Torah says, and the Torah says that you have to say something, so means under all circumstances, as we've just been explaining, when it comes to an individual, you have to say something. But, says the Bi'er Locha, even though there's a din of Kai Yisrael Arayim Zelazeh, we're all responsible one for the other, still says the Ritva, still says the Bi'er Locha, if you're not going to be held responsible, if you said something and the person still chose to ignore you. Moreover, says the Bi'er Halacha, if this is an individual who has publicly gone away from the Derech Hashem, he completely irreligious, then the halacha maybe is that you don't have to say anything. Because under those circumstances, this person has completely separated himself from the Derech Hashem. And since he completely separated himself from the Derech Hashem, then there's no point, and you're certainly not responsible if he doesn't do what he's supposed to do. A person could sometimes say something which isn't 100% true for the sake of peace. Shnema, as we find that the brothers said to Yosef, "V'tzava Yosef le'mavicha tziva kaisama le'Yosef onasona." Now Yaakov Avinu never sent that message. They still said it. Reb Nosson says, "Mitzvah. Not only may you, but it's a mitzvah." Shnema, the pasuk says that when Shmuel went to anoint David to be the melech in the place of Shaul, and Shmuel was concerned, the Yom Shmuel, Ech Eilech V'Shem Shmuel V'Argeni, if Shaul will hear what happened, he'll kill me. HaKadosh Baruch tells him, Eglas Baka Tikach V'Matel L'Zvech L'Shem P'Yisri, take an animal. So even though, as all the Mepharshim point out, he wasn't lying, because he actually did that. But the point is that HaKadosh Baruch told him to do that, because to avoid any machlokes, to avoid any problems. The Beir of Shmuel Tana Gadol Shalom. Shalom is so great that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shinabo, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this. Why? The Makara, when the Torah originally reports how Sarah reacted when the Malachim told him she'll have a son, Siv Vadani Zakin. She said, "How is this possible? My husband's an old man." But what does it say in the pasuk when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Avram? Kaviyachol did not report it exactly as she said it. What was reported that she said is "Avanizakanti," I'm old. But of course, the pasukim say that even though our Gemara is teaching us that because of Shalom, we're allowed to say something which is not correct, something which is not 100% accurate, one should avoid always explicitly lying. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha, Omer Itma, Rabbi Yochanan ben Shimon ben Levi, Charama Alok Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha. One says that Alok is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha, that a woman is obligated in the mitzvah puravu. Charama ain't Alok Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha, and women are not obligated. Says the Gemara, this time I will prove to you that Rabbi Yochanan who the Amad and Alocha, that it's Rabbi Yochanan who holds that the Anoch is not like Rabbi Yochanan Mabraika, that women are obligated in Pur Revu, the Aloch is that women are not. The Yasser of Uva come Mishmed Rabbi Yochanan. Halocha, the Alocha is like Rabbi Yochanan Mabraika. And says the Gemara, Vedrinu Rav Ami Rasi Lapayu, they turned away their face to show that what he said, what Rabbi Avua said was incorrect. And that Rabbi Yochanan never said that. And they didn't want to explicitly tell him that you were making a mistake. They just turned their face away to show their displeasure. V'yikad Amri, Rav Chiya bar Abba Amar, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that the loch is like Rabbi Yochanan Noika. V'adrin Rav Ami v'Asi l'Payu, they turned away to show that Rabbi Yochanan never said this. Amar Apapa, Bishlam Lamand Amar, according to the version, the Ravu Amra, that it was Rabbi Avua that said that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan passing like Rabbi Yochanan Mabroika. That's why Mishum covered by Kaiser, since Rabbi Avua was very close to the king, so they did not want to tell him explicitly that you're wrong, so they only showed it by turning away. That's why they didn't say anything explicit. Elamand Amr, Ruchiba Ab Amra, according to the opinion that Rabbi Chiya bar Abba was the one that said it, and they were dissatisfied with what he's saying. Lamelay, why did they just show it by turning their face around? They should have said explicitly, Le'amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, says the Gemara. So what is the halacha? My havala. What is the halacha? Toshma, Damar Rav Acha bar Chanina, Amar Avu, Amar Rav Asi, of the Havakamed Rabbi Yochanan. There was once an episode by Rabbi Yochanan, Beknishta de Kisri, in the shul of Kisri, Vama, and he said, Yoitzi v'yitin k'suba, that a husband, that they couldn't have children, and the husband should pay out the ksuba. V'iksak datach, if we're going to say that loy mifkada, that a woman is not obligated in the mitzvah per rivia, so ksuba mayim v'adatech. She, why is she entitled to the ksuba? The husband could say, you're not obligated to have children. And if you're getting divorced, you have no right to claim. If you want to get divorced because we don't have children, you're not entitled to ksuba. Says the Gemara, Dilma is talking about Bimbo Machas Taina. She has a claim that she wants to have children. Kehi, Dasol Kamidir of Ami. There was a woman that came to Ami and said that her husband should have to divorce her because they don't have children. Amla, and then she said, Havli Ksuba, I'm entitled to my Ksuba. Amla, Zil. So Rav Ami said to her, go, loy mifkatis, you're not obligated to have children, and therefore your claim that you should get the ksuba because you didn't have children, you don't have a mitzvah to have children. Amale, so the woman said to Rav Ami, miseba delay, might have a lie to say, when I become an old woman, what's going to be with me? So she's saying, even if I'm not obligated in the mitzvah of Pur Revu, I'm still anxious to have children, to have someone care for me when I become old. So he says, if that's indeed the case, Kiha Vada Kafirin. In such a situation, we do force her to get divorced, and she also has a claim to get the ksuba. Hayidis al-Kamei, Rav Nachman. There was a woman that came to Rav Nachman, Amaloy Lemifkadis. And again, she wanted to demand a divorce because they did not have children. So Rav Nachman said, you're not obligated to have children. Amaloy Lebaya Hach Itisa. Doesn't this woman, meaning herself, deserve Chutra Liyada, a stick to lean on, a Mara, that means a son, that the child that she can rely on, a Mara Lekvara, and a shovel to be which buried, that somebody should take care of me in my old age? Says the Gemara, Amara, Kihavad Kafinan. This is a legitimate reason to get a divorce and get a ksuba. Says the Gemara, Yehuda v'chizkiya to'am hayu. They were twins, but they weren't born at the same time. Ig echad nigmar tzrasol saif tisha. One of these two twins was completely formed at the end of 9 months of pregnancy. V'echad nigmar tzrasol v'tchil ha-shiva, at the beginning of the seventh month of pregnancy. Their mother was Yehudas, the wife of Reb Chia, who went through serious labor pains. Shani Minah, she changed the clothing, and she came to Reb Chia and Amra, itisam mifkada peri rivya, and she asked, is a woman obligated in the mitzvah peri rivya? Amalei loy. Azla, so since she had such a difficult pregnancy, ashtu samida karta. She drank something that should make her sterile. L'soif igloy milsa. At the end, it turned out that it was his wife, and he told his wife that you're allowed to not do something, not to be able to have children. Amaka. So he said to, afterwards. He said, halvai, you are not drinking this. Yeladis charsa karsa achrita, and you would have had another son. Yehuda and Cheski were twin brothers, or Pazi Vitovi Achvasa, and they were his daughters. And halavai, I should have had more children, and it would have been better. It's an interesting discussion here in the Cheshukei Chemed. Here we see that a person is allowed to do something to fool the Rav. And the question is, if somebody is sick, are you allowed to not necessarily tell them what their situation is in order that they should not despair or they shouldn't be despondent? And here we see that under certain circumstances where it's for the benefit of the person, maybe we don't have to always be 100% exact in what we're saying. Ask the Gemara v'lo mifkadi, is it indeed the halacha that women aren't obligated in the mitzvah Pur Revu? V'amar v'achbar v'av ketina amar v'yitzchak, ma'asa b'isha echas. There was a story with a woman that was chetzi shifcha v'chetzi bas chayrin, and therefore she could not get married to anyone. She couldn't marry an Evid because she's a half-bent chayrin. She couldn't marry a free man because she's a half Amma. And says the Rav Kofas Rabba, and they forced her owner, Vasubas Chayrin, if she's not obligated to get married, even if she's a full Yisraelis, why do we force the owner to free her? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Nachman Yitzchak, there was a different situation. What was happening over there was Minig Hefker Naguba. She was not acting in a perfect moral fashion because she didn't have a husband. And because of that, we forced him to free her so that she should be able to get married to a regular Jewish man. There's a very interesting discussion. We know there's a rule of Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh L'Zeh. All Jews are responsible for each other. And the Echraim discuss if this rule of Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh L'Zeh applies by women as well. There are a number of applications. One application is, can one woman perform a mitzvah as a shliach for another woman, b'kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh L'Zeh? And could a man fulfill a mitzvah on behalf of a woman because kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh L'Zeh? The Dag Mervava says that kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh L'Zeh doesn't apply from one woman to another woman, but it does apply from a man to a woman. The Rabbi Akiva Eiger disagrees. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, if women are not included in the klal of Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh L'Zeh, it shouldn't make a difference under any circumstances. So the Michas Yitzchak, Shas HaTshuvos Michas Yitzchak, Chei L'Gimel Simen Nun Dalet, uses our Gemara, that our Gemara says that maybe if women are obligated in the mitzvah pure Rivia, the owner has to free this Chatzi Shifcha, Chatzi Ben Chayrim, in order that she should be able to fulfill the mitzvah Pur Revu. But if there's no Chiv of Arevis from men to women, there's no Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh, why would the owner have to free her so she should be able to fulfill the mitzvah? So we see, says the Michas Yitzchak, that even if we'll suggest that we don't say Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh from one woman to another woman, we will say, as the Noi de Behuda and the Dag Mervava points out, we will say Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh L'Zeh from men to women. That's why perhaps a man can fulfill a mitzvah, do a mitzvah that he already fulfilled, in order to help that a woman should be able to fulfill that mitzvah. Hanu lachabal yevimta, hanu lachabal yevimta, hanu lachabal al yevimta.